Well, good morning, Morro Bay. Today is Thursday, October 19th, and I'd like to call to order the monthly meeting of the Tourism Business Improvement District. For the record, the time is exactly 9 a.m. to the second. Now we'll establish a quorum of our board members present here today. From my right to left, we have Taylor Newton, Maggie Jurin, Sean Green, Stephen Allen, and Charlie Yates, and myself, Aaron Graves. I'd like to... Actually, we changed the agenda very slightly here. Are there any board member announcements? Seeing no board member announcements, we'll move on to any staff announcements.
Yes, we have a few announcements. So I did a little PowerPoint slide for you really quick. We just finished up our second concert down on the bay, and it did really well. The first one had a little over 200 attendees, and the second one had over 300, so we grew that, and it was really well. We changed the configuration of the facility and did much, much better for us, so we're happy with that. Coming up, we have the Dusk to Dawn overnight race that's coming into Morro Bay on the 21st of October. It's the first time it'll be here. And then after that, we have our annual trick-or-treat that's downtown, and it's a pretty fun thing, and they're also having a haunted house at the police station this year, so that'll be a good time. November 5th, we have the triathlon, and then on the 23rd of November, the tall ships arrive, and we'll start our 12 days of the holiday season event.
Very cool. Thank you, Jen. Any further staff announcements? Seeing none, we'll move on to public comment. Is there any public comment for items either on or not on the agenda? Seeing no public comment, we'll move on to the first consent item on the agenda, A1, which is going to be an approval of the August 17th, 2017 T-Bid Advisory Board meeting minutes. Board, I know we all diligently reviewed these minutes. Do we have any comments? If no comments, we'll be looking for a motion and a second.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Thank you, Mr. Allen.
I'll second that.
Thank you, Mr. Yates. All in favor?
Aye.
No oppositions, no abstention. Motion passes unanimously. Item A2, approval of the August 23rd T-Bid Advisory Board special meeting. Minutes. Once again, I know we all reviewed those. Will be, if there are no comments about those minutes, and if there's no public comment about those minutes, we'll be looking for a motion and an approval.
I make a motion that we approve those minutes.
Thank you, Maggie. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. All in favor?
Aye.
Oppositions and no abstentions. Unanimous passing. First item then on the business agenda, item B1, which is the August 2017 TOT report and year-over-year review by our tourism manager, Ms. Jennifer Little.
Sure. If you look at the infographic that's in your package, you'll see the breakdown of the other towns and cities in the county, as well as our numbers as well. And we are down for August. We were down 1% in August. And looking at all the competitive cities in the county, that's actually we're probably holding the best out of everybody. Everybody else has significantly dropped beyond that. And I'll go through their numbers in a minute. I would probably attribute that holding because City Council last year gave us additional funds to promote into the summer. I don't know if you remember, I went back and asked them for additional money, and so we had money to promote starting in May for June and July stays, which is unusual. We usually don't have to promote into the summer, but we requested that due to Highway 1 closure. And I'll show you, I just did a quick analysis looking at the STAR data for the other cities, and you'll see Morro Bay is down 1%. Like I mentioned, I think that's offset mainly from the City Council additional money. Tascadero is down over 11, Cambria 7, Paso 11.3, Pismo 2.9, San Luis 5.9, San Simeon 12.4, which is obvious with Highway 1 down there. And then the North Coast overall was 9.4. So, I mean, the numbers are staggering. I mean, this is something that we've been talking with countywide that, you know, Chuck Davison has told us, you know, over and over that we're going to see this drop that we've been at the height for several years, and he was expecting this to happen for 2018. But I'm hoping that September is going to be stronger. It feels like we're stronger. I don't know if you guys can talk about your hotel numbers, but what I'm seeing going into September looks stronger than where we were last year.
Yep. And when we drill down to this data a little bit further, you're right, revenues overall are down. When we look at, of course, the STAR report here, which we realize is not a completely exclusive sample size. There are a lot of hotels not in the STAR data. However, when we look at it, though, we do see in a number of the towns, ADR is actually up by 1, 2, 3% in places, but they dramatically compromised occupancy to get such a high rate. The occupancy is down double digits. In some places, it's down well into the teens, which is pretty substantial. And those are areas that we would not attribute as much to Highway 1 closures affecting it. So as Jen just said, I want to say we've been on an 86 or 87-month high. The party cannot go on forever, and so we've been all anticipating that the summer of 17 was going to be a bit of a judgment day, a crossroads for the industry. Now we can understand and start posturing accordingly. Board, do you have any other comments about the report? Just curious, as Jen mentioned there, if you don't mind, how did September feel? Have we all had a chance to close out our books compared to a year over year?
I know that our September's been spectacular. I mean, it really has been one for the – been a record September.
A record September.
For the inn.
Outstanding.
And a lot of it is repeat guests and groups that, you know, typically we're going to other places like San Luis Obispo, relocated some functions, and we were lucky to get things like the Central Coast Writers Conference, and that was a big one for us, for the whole community.
But in your case, Charlie, didn't you change out your DOS and you've been more aggressive getting groups in there? Okay, so it's starting to pay off for you.
Definitely mining past groups has been, you know, one of our successes, going back to, 10 years and, you know, inviting groups to come back.
Excellent. So,
and it has been a lot of work, but
it's paying off. If 17 was actually up for you.
Yeah.
Outstanding.
I just want to make a comment that we've had a fair amount of groups coming from Northern California that's been impacted by the fires. The Bay Area, the compression there with occupancy has pushed a lot of people, you know, down Southern California towards us. So that has had an effect as well.
Yeah. Actually, speaking to Stephen's point, have we incorporated, not fire-related, but have we incorporated Highway 1 reopenings into any marketing materials?
The county does do that,
okay.
Yeah.
And to further that very slightly, that's been something that was outstanding to get the press coverage with another portion of Highway 1 opening up, but we kind of wanted to save and not make that this big explosive thing since it is not fully open. So we really effectively get one time to deliver that grand message that it's fully open, and since we're still maybe looking at another year, we're trying to reserve that statement. Any further comments, Board Maggie?
Nothing? We had a very strong September, and to what Stephen said, we were, you know, we were getting calls all day, every day, about people trying to get out of the Bay Area. So I think October is going to end up being very strong, sadly enough for them, but,
right,
you know, good news for us.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Is there any public comment on the TOT report as it has been presented? Seeing no public comment. And this is a receive and file, no motion required. Item B2. September 2017 Marketing Public Relations Update by our Tourism Manager.
And I've asked Mary Ann to come in this morning for Mental Marketing so she can talk a little bit about our website stats. If you look at the stats year over year, they are down significantly for the month, and so she's going to give us a little review on her take on why that's happening.
Thank you.
Is there a... Oh.
Good to see you, Mary Ann. Thank you for attending.
Yes, good to see you all as well. Hi. Mary Ann Stansfield with Mental Marketing. Jen and I were looking over the numbers for September, and as you can see in the report, they're showing some negative movement there. So I'm glad to hear that you guys are having a good September as far as, you know, occupancy and so forth. So what I wanted to do is kind of break it down and show different perspectives on why this is potentially happening right now. So I just threw together a PowerPoint. Forgive me for it's not beautiful or anything, but so first of all, just wanted to start the web stats year over year for morbay.org. We're down 6%, just to give you a little perspective, as far as the first 15 days of October, we're already up 7%. But there is a point I want to make, is that we're down 10% in organic search. So there is a trend happening where organic search is becoming harder and harder, or it's just trending downward for various reasons, and I'll get to that in a minute. But I think one of the bigger things we need to talk about is the SEO, the search engine optimization limitations on your current site, because that also drives organic search results and traffic. So I kind of wanted to just take a minute and go over a couple things with you. Sorry, it's a little wordy. I'm going to try to make it just kind of soundbite-ish. But first of all, so there's about 8 things going on with your current website. Do you guys have any questions? There's about 8 things going on with current website that kind of hinder some of the SEO things that we're trying to get done. One is page name changes. So you've had a couple sites over like the past 4 years. And what happened, what we've discovered, is that, for example, the lodging page, it was named Stay and Play one time, and then it went to lodging. So that name of that page was changed. That's not best practice, really. But what we can do sometimes when that happens is forward any links that are still going to that old page to the new lodging page. Well, in this current site you guys had, that wasn't done for some reason. So the 301 redirects weren't done when the changes were made. So we're losing some of those old clicks. It's just some best practices just weren't implemented when this site was created. Number two, we can't add text to the content, or we can't add content to existing pages without going to iMobi or MobiManage and paying them getting a work order and then paying them to do it. So that's one of the challenges of this website, is that it is a proprietary software template that we purchased from, a company that does that. So they basically own the back end of this website. We don't, Jen doesn't, you guys don't, they do.
But Marion, it wasn't built out using a WordPress platform or anything?
No.
100% proprietary?
Yes. It was before Jen or I was here. We were doing the PR at the time, but it was a project that Brent managed with a different agency.
Okay.
So, and our agency has dealt with this before when we've taken over websites and when it's a proprietary kind of, when it's a proprietary site, it just has challenges. Because, their game is that, okay, we own the back end on this, so whenever you need something done, you have to pay us to do it. Instead of, and it's seems way more expensive than if we would just be able to go in as your agency. I mean, you still have to pay to get a change, but it's not the same. It's time consuming. So you have to go into their platform, put in a request for a change, then they give you a bid, and then 2 weeks later it gets done, versus Jen could call me and say, Marianne, add this, do that, and we could do it that day, next day be done. So that's a challenge that's not going to go away on this particular site. So therefore we can't add text on the existing pages. We can add events, we can add landing pages for new promotions, we can do that, and that helps the SEO, but we can't add keywords in places that we'd like to, without it costing quite a bit of money. The other thing is that the third bullet there is we can't add headlines, which is another best practice. So basically, we have a relationship with Google. We're saying these are the SEO words we're using, but we can't. Because that's what people are searching for, mind you. That's how we determine. We're looking at what the users are using to determine that. And so, but we can't change the tags on the pages to match what people are actually searching for. So that's another best practice that we can't accomplish on this site. We can't modify the repetitive phrase on each title of the tag. So, for example, if you share, if you do social media, and you share a link on the site, and it should say, the lodging page, but it doesn't. When you show the photo on Facebook, for example, and then there's a link attached to it, it should say, hotels or something like that. every single time we do that, instead it says Morro Bay Official Visitor Guide, Morro Bay, California. So it doesn't show the end user what the specific content is that they're going to be looking for. So, and that is something, you know, it should only be on the home page, not on all the other pages. If that is, am I saying that clearly? So another one is that we can't create a sitemap, an XML sitemap, that we can then submit to Google so that they can index all of our pages on their website. We can't do that. Just a couple more. This one is kind of a bummer because we can't track outbound referrals to TBID lodging partners. So I think on the site before this you could, but this particular site just doesn't allow us to do that. So what that means is right now we're driving a lot of traffic to Jackrabbit, which we want to, of course, that's the booking engine. But what we can also do there is track the referrals to your individual websites, if people are, you know, taking down your phone number, those kinds of things. And I know Jen reports that out to you guys every month. But there's probably about another good 25 to 30% of referrals that are going to your pages from this website that we can't track because we don't have the outbound links to your site. So once they get to the landing page, to the hotel page, let's say, and then they go through the list of all the properties and they click on one and it goes to your website, that's what we're not able to track. So we're not able to show you that value. Is that clear? Because we want to show you how we're driving traffic to you guys. You know, you guys are our main, you know, main point for being on this and making sure that we're getting you guys as much traffic as
possible. Maron, that would be tremendous data. Each one of those could be resulting in a direct booking, and that's
absolutely
what the TBID is all about. So,
right.
And that's, you said that is just not applicable in the current platform.
Right. They don't have outbound links. So, like, 1,000 people could go to the landing page and then they leave the landing page, but we don't know, or to the hotel page.
Right.
They leave, when they leave, we don't know where they're going.
Are there other platforms that do offer those features?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay.
Yeah, and ones where, for example, the one that we have now, if you guys wanted to, if you change your brand or change your color palette or anything like that, which we call in marketing, we call a reskin. We need to reskin the website. Mm-hmm. Right now, it would cost a fortune to do that. On a new site, we can do, where it's like maybe a WordPress platform, or which is pretty common.
Right.
We can reskin it. We can put content in. We can add plugins of different functionality, you know, that are so affordable and so easy to use. So
because a website really needs to be dynamic, ever changing,
right,
and constantly evolving. So
right,
to be handcuffed, I personally hate that when
yeah,
contracts are executed with companies that hold you
yeah,
to it.
And yeah.
Change.
So, okay. So I just want to explain to you guys, since we do see some our organic traffic going down, why that's happening, and share that, you know, there are some limitations on this current website that you guys have. So, so the lodging partners, we can't create a custom sign-up page. So, for example, if we wanted to, and we did last year, we did a giveaway, and we had to do it through, so you need a sign-up form, right? You need to put in your name, you know, maybe your zip code, your phone number, so if you win, we can connect, you know, get you the prize. So we weren't able to, this platform doesn't even have the capacity to do that. Even if we paid MobiManage $1,000 to do it, this website doesn't even have that functionality. So what we did is we went through Facebook to have people sign up through Facebook, and it just doesn't drive where people where we want them to go. So if we had the opportunity to do that on the on your website, we could say, okay, come, we want to give you a two-night stay in Morro Bay. You pick the lodging. And so then that would drive, they would have to go to the lodging page and read through and see what lodging partners they wanted. So it's a really great way to drive even more people to the lodging page, which is, again, one of our key performance indicators. But so we can't do that either. So that's something as far as you know, a strategy or a tactic that we would want to employ that isn't allowing us to do it. So from functionality in SEO and functionality as far as tactics and strategies, we're limited. And I've already kind of gone over this last point there, that it's just really, you know, limiting us on what we can do. So I just wanted to bring that to all of your attention, just as it's an issue right now. So then the other point I was going to make is organic search is trending downward because basically organic searches are now, and you guys might have all noticed this when you search, it's the top half of Google or whatever your search engine is, it's really ads. And they're making them look like it's organic, but it's not. And they're doing it purposefully because they're monetizing their site as much as they can. So now what's happening is the real organic search listings are showing up below the fold, if you will. So, and people that, you know, aren't catching on are still clicking on these pay-per-click sites, which, hey, if it's our ad, go ahead, click on it. You know, we want you to find us. So it's kind of, you know, good and bad for everyone. But so that's part of why some of the organic search numbers are going down. Another reason is conversational search. You know how big that is now with Siri, and people have the box in the house, and they're like, hey, Siri, you know, turn my TV on or whatever, or search for Morro Bay. Well, those searches aren't showing up in Google. And so that's kind of becoming more and more prevalent as far as for people using it in their office, using it at home, using it in their car. So web developers are definitely, this is a trend that people are all over and trying to figure out how to, you know, connect these.
But Marian, in that instance, what mechanism is it using to determine what it comes up with, its results?
Well, you know what, is Siri connected to Google? I think Siri is Apple. Yeah, I think Siri is Apple. And so they're providing, whoever is creating these, you know, these products are using their own type of search tools.
And maybe you don't know, but I mean, is it defaulting immediately to all paid advertisements and just not giving any results to organic?
No, what I'm saying is that wherever it goes, if it goes to a paid, if it goes to, so here's the thing. If I'm standing here and I'm like, Siri, where is, you know, Morro Bay? And she'll be like, Morro Bay is blah, 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 blah. So I'm not looking at a hierarchy of ads and listings. She's just telling me what she wants to tell me. She's choosing what I hear. So it's not getting captured in Google's statistics. So there's maybe people searching for Morro Bay, but it's not, you know, it's not showing up as far as a place where we can pull that stat. So that's what people are working on. How do we figure this out? So that's still, I think, brainchild and, you know, people and really, really smart people in Silicon Valley are probably looking into this issue, you know. So we're watching, you know, what next steps would be and how we would, you know, mitigate that for our clients and just the industry in general. But just those things occurring make it even more imperative that we're able to maximize our search engine optimization to mitigate that, you know. So just wanted you guys to have some things to think about. And then
Can I ask you a question real quick?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so just going back to the majority portion of what you're saying, are you saying that we should have a new website that is more like a WordPress that you therefore could have more control over?
Yes.
And that WordPress website, theoretical website we're discussing, we would need to find somebody, hire somebody to do that, some contractor, or is that you also?
We develop websites, we manage websites all the time. It wouldn't have to be me. It could be Liz and Shannon in the office. They actually do a lot of updates on, you know, on the website, whether it's adding an event or, you know, doing a banner across, you know, the front page and that kind of thing. It is user friendly so that you don't have to hire someone who writes code.
I understand.
Like, you know what I mean? So it's, yeah.
So at some point you or Jennifer is going to, if we wanted to change things up like you're proposing theoretically,
yeah.
You or she would present us with some financial numbers that show us how much it costs to make these changes?
Right.
Excellent.
I can speak a little more to that, Taylor, as well. That it is our plan. If we do end up bringing Vacation Rentals RV, we will have to build the site. So in this year's budget, we did plan ahead for that. So we do have money set aside if we need to do that. So it is in the works, and I am looking at different estimates, and I'll bring them in to you guys when I'm ready to review them. Okay?
Good. Okay. So I just want to go over quickly the Jackrabbit stats as well, because those were down in September. And so I worked with our rep over there. She pulled a bunch of reports for us, and as you can see, it was showing year over year, this is for September, was down 36%. Last month in August, year over year, we were up 67%. And we've been up two percentage points every month for 27 months. So this was very odd. And so we dug a little bit, and it turns out that last September, so September 2016, was the highest, the month of highest searches in 27 months. And so this year we just didn't meet up to that search level in this September. And then on top of it, the second highest number of searches was August 2017, so last month. So doubly, it looks like our numbers are really low. So what I wanted to do was kind of give a different perspective and show all the searches for fiscal 16 to 17. We were up 52%. Referrals from 16, that should say to 17, I apologize for that typo, were up 18%. And then just Q1 of this year, I compared to Q1 16 and 17. So we were up 50% Q1 and 17, but we are still up 9% Q1 this year. So even though it looks like we were down 36% in September overall for the last 3 months, we're up 9%. So does that help?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Sean.
To get away from percentages, which can maybe confuse or blind us, to look at the total Jackrabbit searches for September and the Jackrabbit referrals to lodging, we have, 38 hotels? Is that what it is? If we have 38 hotels, that's basically the Jackrabbit searches. That's about somewhere between one and two searches per day per hotel. And that is two-thirds of one search per day per hotel that is leading to a lodging, just to put hard numbers on it. So get away from percentages.
Yeah, good perspective. Thank you, Sean.
But also, Sean, to look at that in a correct perspective, a lot of hotels have two to eight rooms. So you have to really equate it out per room, probably be the better way to do it versus per hotel. Does that make sense?
Anybody, any other questions? I think this is...
Marion, I'm just curious there. Q1 of 2018, July through September.
Yeah.
Very bottom. What is that indicating?
So what that's indicating is that, so year over year from 16 to 17, the searches were up 50%, and from 17 to 18, the searches were up 9%.
Because our year rolls July 1. Even though it's still 17, July 1, it's 17-18.
So it's fiscal, so we're just at the end of the Q1 fiscally.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
Sure. So I just kind of wanted to show you perspective on that, we're still trending up. I think we just had some months that, last year were really high, and this year weren't as high. So what we're doing in the short term is we're just focusing hard on our keyword positioning, within the limitations of the current website, but trying to keep it as high as possible. We increased Google AdWords budget, and we're changing them to all text ads. Those are the ones that are showing above the fold. We're not doing display ads anymore. We've kind of, moved our funds over to drive that. We're driving all of those clicks to Jackrabbit to grow search engine marketing traffic and search traffic. Number three there, we're continuing to increase social media traffic through paid ads on Facebook and also now YouTube to help drive social traffic to also mitigate the lowering of organic traffic. We want to drive up, some of the other factors. And I think, you know, like I said before, the city needs to kind of keep working towards developing a new website that'll fix the shortcomings on the current site. So anyway, good news, bad news, but just wanted to share with you guys our findings. So does anybody have any more questions?
Ward, any questions for Marianne? Seeing none. Is there any public comment on the presentation by Mental Marketing? Okay.
Thank you for your time.
Yes, thank you very much. And Jen, are you then concluded with this section?
No.
PR, an update, or not?
No.
Okay. Marianne was a subset.
I just have a couple more things that I want to go through.
Please.
In the packet. So campaign and asset development that Mental Marketing has been working on. There's several things that are going on right now. We have all of our new video ads that we've been putting together, and they kind of combine one or two different events or promotions that are going on. We've been running them on YouTube, and they're very successful. They're doing really well. So we did the Concerts on the Bay and the Harbor Festival, and like the Harbor Festival is also combined with the Verge's $10,000 fishing promotion. I don't know if you've seen any of these running. They're 15 seconds. They're really strong, and they're pulling really well for us. So we're going to keep doing those. We have one coming up for the Winterfest. It's what we're now calling our 12 Days of Christmas. It's now Winterfest. Also, the kids get free stuff. That's November, December. We're building one for that. We'll do one for January, February, and then we'll also do one for spring, and that'll complete our budget for the video portion of our budget this year. The Concerts on the Bay I mentioned earlier, we did a lot of packaging promotions on social media as well as on radio locally. We had some huge pushes out on e-blasts with USC and UCLA and on LA Times, sorry, not UCLA, but LA Magazine and LA Times. And I think that's where we pulled a lot of those ticket sales from. The Harbor Festival, part of that grant goes to Mental Marketing, and they will be working on the digital ads. Well, they did work on the digital ads for that, and they also did the USC e-blast to that as well. I don't know if any of you attended Harbor Festival. I thought it was really well attended. Seemed very full compared to last year. I was really happy with how the turnout was. Calling on rooms, you know, we called several days coming up to the actual event. And as of Friday, I would say we had about 60 rooms still available in town, but otherwise we're pretty full. Compared to Avocado Margarita, Avocado Margarita, we had maybe 20 Friday morning. So pretty strong, though, compared to last year, definitely stronger.
Do you know the number of people that may have gone to the Harbor Festival?
I put in a request for that, and I have not heard back from them yet, Taylor.
They don't sell tickets, was that correct?
They don't. It's open gates.
Tracking headcounts, probably pretty difficult.
Yeah. Okay. Definitely.
Okay.
But that's why we call hotel rooms to find out how we're booking. Yeah.
I was out actually paddle boarding in the harbor on that day and watching it from the backside. It looked like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was pretty great. We have our Kids Passport campaign that's coming up that'll run in November, December, and I left books on each one of your tables there. And we have digital campaign that's been put together for that as well. And so that ad is the digital ad that runs, and it's a GIF that flips back and forth. So it gets a little more attention than just a static ad. And then to go over just a few sample PR items that I wanted to mention that were really strong this last month, we had Country Living Magazine named us one of the top small towns in California. I thought that was pretty strong. Country Living is a great magazine. A Bay, Country Living, it's kind of interesting, but I was thrilled they picked us up. And then I might have mentioned this before, that Travel and Leisure picked up Avocado Margarita as one of the top fall festivals nationwide to go to, which is really strong. Travel and Leisure is one of the, you know, biggest publications we could possibly want to be in, right? And then it was also picked up by Smithsonian from there. So both of those, that was huge for us, absolutely huge. That, for our little town, it's pretty amazing. That's Mental Marketing that did that. Do you have any questions on anything else for Mental Marketing before we go on?
Seeing no questions. Jen, are you concluded with that section then?
I am.
Okay, is there any public comment? Seeing none. Sorry, I was trying to take some notes here. All right. We move on to B3, which is the Highway 1 Outdoor Billboard Concepts, presented by our tourism manager. And, of course, Board, we all reviewed this last month. We gave her a lot of input. There was public comment to that effect as well. And I believe, Jen, are we trying to really hone on this in this meeting and
push
a recommendation?
So.
Okay. No promises.
Okay. So we're going to go through some sample concepts, and then we're also going to talk about the actual billboard placement after that, so two separate issues on this. So what we talked about last time was let's hone in on two different headlines and let's look at moving images as well as the extensions on the board. So we have, I think I have seven different looks to show you. So this is the first one. We moved the headline to the left side. Drop Anchor in Morro Bay was one of the two headlines that we had decided to look at for these boards. And also we're looking at doing an extension on the bottom portion of the board to try to clean up that board a little more. So if we want to do two extensions, the one on the top, which would say the exit message, and then the one on the bottom for the website, there's a little additional cost. It'll be about $500 to get that second extension built, but it might be well worth it. The next look is just the images on the left have changed to be the straight images versus the one before it was the three images kind of kitty corner. Drop Anchor in Morro Bay. You guys feel free to yell.
Jen, quick question on this one then. Are these extensions on top and bottom, or is this making the billboard smaller and going with that format?
The board is existing size. You can't change that. The blue is an actual extension
Those
that's
are
built
extensions
and
in both
installed.
Of these iterations.
Correct.
Top and bottom. Okay.
And then, go ahead.
Sorry, I don't want to cut the board off here if you have any thoughts. And this would be directed towards, I think Charlie would be a good one. By saying Exit Morro Bay Boulevard, are we really driving traffic towards one center of our hoteliers?
Let's talk about the location and that afterwards, because I put together a kind of photo essay of all of it, if you don't mind.
Okay.
And we can kind of dive into that afterwards.
Understood.
Okay. Let's just finish going through these. So next one is Put Life on Coast, held on the left side of the board. And then these are three hotel images, which I like these. I think these are my favorite. Drop Anchor in Morro Bay with a mom and a son in a hotel room. Put Life on Coast at a check-in desk. And then Put Life on Coast with a couple in a hotel room. You like those, Taylor?
Yeah, I really like the ones that have like you get to see people experiencing Morro Bay on a hotel level. It makes people think about Morro Bay being a place to sleep at. I have a quote that defines Morro Bay for me. A priest told me one time when they were talking about taking down the towers. People always make those comments. I hope they never come down. And he said to me, you know, I hope they never take down the towers because they are beacons of hospitality. Meaning that, like, when people come to the coast, they see those lights, and they're like, oh, I'm almost to Morro Bay. Thank God.
Should we show that in the ad? The towers? They're all hidden.
And a priest.
Yeah. So maybe what we should do is go through kind of the map and the essay of the location, then we'll go back and talk more about the visual concepts.
Okay.
So going on to the map... So what we did was we put together a map of the six exits in Morro Bay, and I'm just going to kind of talk through them and get your opinion on it. So the way outdoor medium works is it's really what's called a secondary medium. It's supposed to work in conjunction with knowledge or experience of whatever you're offering on your board. It is not a standalone message by any means. So when you look at a board, you need to think of just top of mind. They're not going to be writing down our website. They're not going to be writing down a lot of content. It's just visual. Oh, yeah, Morro Bay, let's stop. That's what we really want to get them to do is get off the road. Okay? When you look at these different exits, so the first one right after you pass the board is San Bernardino Creek. It's a rural route. It's a left turn and a right turn. There's no signal. There's no exit. So... if we say six exits, the next six exits, and they get off at the first exit, they're going to be going into kind of an odd area that has a few homes, and that's it. Going on to looking at the second exit, this is South Bay Boulevard, and this is where you would go in the back way to get to the golf course or in at Morro Bay. This is a really difficult exit. When you come up on it, the sign says Los Osos and Baywood. It does not say Morro Bay at all. And when you come down the exit, when you get to the very bottom, there's no sign denoting hotels anywhere. So you come to the bottom of the exit where that white car is the top right photo. There's no sign telling you turn left or turn right, and you've got a fairly large building on the right that kind of looks like a hotel, but it is not. So there's nothing that's prompting you to turn left and go under the bridge heading towards the bay. When you're going down the bottom left photo, that's South Bay Boulevard, and the sign, the brown sign, it's hard to see, but it says State Park to the right. Again, no denotation of a hotel if you turn right there. So I have a big concern about, you know, telling people to get off at those first two exits when there's clearly no way for them to find how to get to a hotel, which is, it's too bad. I mean, it would be really nice to figure out how we can get signs on those roads. But right now, you can see there's just nothing that really prompts you to know that there's any sort of a hotel there.
Jen, one other comment that I have on South Bay Boulevard is there's no sign that says South Bay Boulevard.
I know. The whole exit is just a mess, isn't it? Yeah, really. That's what I'm saying. The sign says Los Osos and Baywood. That's all it says. Nothing about Morro Bay. Then this is our third exit in. This is Morro Bay Boulevard, and the sign says Morro Bay next three exits. So if we're saying Morro Bay six exits, two exits back, and then this one says three, we're conflicting our message. You know, somebody has this thought in their mind. We want to keep that thought clear to, you know, exit somewhere in Morro Bay. We need to get them off the road and into Morro Bay. We don't want to get all this conflict going. If they get off at the first two exits and then get back on, they might just get frustrated and keep going. So we really need to think about a visitor that doesn't know Morro Bay, doesn't know how to navigate Morro Bay, and how do we get them somewhere that feels like a town. And that's really the challenge of how our town is just set up. The interesting thing about Morro Bay Boulevard is when you get off, it forces you into town. You know, it's that you swoop over the freeway, and it you have no choice. It forces you right into town. And right after you get over the freeway, there's the visitor center signs that direct you towards the visitor center. So coming back to me and why my thought is it should say exit Morro Bay Boulevard is just for that quick response and getting you right to somewhere that feels, you know, heart of town, get you to the visitor center so you can get directions on where to go in Morro Bay.
And Jen, just an additional thing.
Yeah.
You know, when you come off on Morro Bay, as if you continue down Morro Bay a little bit, you get that beautiful view of the rock, which then is going to pull people, oh, wow, let's see if we can get there. So,
totally agree, Maggie. Totally agree. Looking at the fourth exit, that's Main Street. So you come to the bottom of Main Street, there is a sign there that you can see the blue sign. It says hotels. It doesn't say left or right. It just has a picture of a bed. And you look at a lot straight ahead. So, I mean, if you turn right, that takes you back into downtown, which is fine. And you come across a lot of hotels, which is good. But, again, not great direction for hotels. And then when you get to the next exit, when you exit Atascadero Highway 41 at the bottom there on the right, that little blue sign says beds and gas, or no, beds and trailers is what that is. And it does say left or right. So it is, that one is you know, sending you left or right for hotels or RV parks. And then the sixth exit is back into neighborhoods San Jacinto, which is a rural route signal again. Doesn't really give you any direction for hotels. So you, just to kind of give you an idea of where I started and why I really felt that it should say exit Morro Bay Boulevard, not trying to cut anybody out. I'm just trying to get them into the heart of wanting to stay. Because if you get off at some of those other exits, you might be inclined to say, there's nothing here. Let's go on. And that's what we need to think about is people that really don't know our town and how do we get them off and want to stay. That's my soapbox.
I think the instinct is good, and I think that maybe if we pick one of the ones that say exit Morro Bay Boulevard, we send out some sort of positive message to hoteliers on the north side and on the south side that maybe we can help work together with whether it's CHP or whoever to get the appropriate signage so that in the next iteration, 3 years from now when we change the billboard again, it may be more appropriate to put three exits or four exits. It also have maybe figured out the roundabout at the Atascadero 41 exit, which would be a disaster to lead people to that if that starts being under construction.
Any other thoughts for Jen Board?
I like the one with the woman and the child in the hotel room.
as far as directions, Jen, you put forth a very compelling argument. I see what you're saying when examining each of those exits. So I would advocate, and of course we want to open this up to public comment here in a bit, Morby Boulevard makes the most sense, and I think it's the strongest brand for the town. So, board, do we have any thoughts to the contrary for that? Do we agree with her assessment? To kind of take this one at a time, I think we should first discuss the exit, since that's on the table right now, and then we can discuss the color and the palette for the rest of the billboard. Sound reasonable? How do we feel about the exit?
Yes, I concur that for right now we make it the exit, say, Morro Bay Boulevard.
I agree with the logic, Jen. My only question or comment, if we're talking about inclusion of RVs and vacation rentals, have we geographically looked where they're clustered? I know we're focusing on hotels right now, but that would that still make sense, that logic?
It would. The park down in West Morro Bay at the Strand is a state park, so they would not pay into the bid. So it would only be private parks, which are mainly centered in downtown area. Yeah. But again, Stephen, just so you remember, those are extensions. That's not the flex. So the big flex in the middle is the really expensive thing that costs us a couple thousand dollars to replace. But the extension at the bottom, if we decide to change the one at the top or the bottom, it's like $500. That's not too bad.
One other thought, Jen, on our domain name for this lower extension, is there a way to make it any larger so it's as legible as possible when traveling at 65 miles an hour?
We can look at it. So when I drove the board, I visually geared that as about a 7-second read, which is pretty low. Usually you want about a 10-second read on an outdoor board. It's hard. It's really, really hard. And you have maximum sizing as far as height and length that you can do, so we'll have to talk with the outdoor company and see if we can make it any bigger.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. All right. So what about discussion regarding the rest of the billboard, color, phrasing, things like that? Go ahead, Maggie.
So, yes, from driving us an overnight stay, I agree the hotel images are good. But my question is, how many walk-ins do we get? Like, and I don't have that statistic because the hotel I manage is advanced booking. We very seldom get people walking in. So, but to the other hoteliers, what is the percentage of bookings? So my thinking was originally about this is the goal was to just to draw people into Morro Bay, and then they would be so attractive that even if they don't spend the night this time, they say, we should come back here sometime and stay. So driving it very specifically for hotels versus activities that they go, cool, you know, oh, you want to get off here and do some stand-up paddleboarding and go check out the otters, you know, that to me is going to draw people more in. So I don't know if the purpose, I guess my question is, will the billboard really drive overnight stays? And should we more focus on what the town offers in the images? And I personally believe that the images are stronger.
A quick question. How often do we change the main expensive portion of the billboard?
I believe it was changed right before I started. I think Marianne installed that probably in May 16, a year before. So it's been almost 2 years that one's been up.
The one with the guy saying, hey, take a picture?
Yes.
If retailers and restaurants aren't part of the people that are putting this together, it seems to me that whatever benefits the hotels the most should be what goes on there, whether that's planting the seeds for future stays or walk-ins. I don't know what that is.
Took the words right out of my mouth, Sean. I tend to echo that sentiment completely. Mr. Yates, Mr. Allen, do you have any thoughts on it at this point? Okay. Seeing none. As far as the slogan, though, I feel we are a DMO, we're a destination management organization, and it feels like our slogan should be very consistent on the billboard. So what we have designated for the website and all other of our marketing material really should be what's consistent on the board. So from my point of view, I don't really feel there's even a debate personally regarding the phrase on there. It's our slogan is our slogan. We put life on coast.
That's our slogan, though. Okay.
Yeah. And since
I can't remember our slogan anymore.
Then we need to do a better job, Taylor. We're doing a terrible job.
I think my sarcastic point is it doesn't matter if we don't know our slogan. Not to put a negative spin, but like, I'm on the board. Like, I don't know what our slogan is.
Then we're
not stupid.
I think that's exact. So you helped to emphasize my point, and that's why our slogan needs to be consistent across all channels and for a duration of time to start gaining some traction. Because if you drive around town, there are multiple slogans, multiple iterations of different images, and even a board member doesn't know our slogan. And I don't blame you for that because it's hard to figure out.
And I've been around the longest on the board, so yeah. I mean, maybe that's the reason. I've seen so many slogans. We keep on changing the slogan. You know what I mean? Like, who are we?
But we drill down, we do the research, we determine a slogan, and that should be steadfast, consistent, and unwavering.
And it has not really been pushed yet, Taylor. We've not done any sort of branding or launch or anything on it yet.
I would agree with that, Aaron. Let's keep it consistent.
Thank you. So what would be our immediate feedback here to Ms. Little? And we'd like to open up to public comment and get everybody else's thoughts on this topic. So the board seems to be consistent, unless I hear anything to the contrary. Put Life on Coast is our slogan. We all seem to agree with Jen's very compelling argument about Exit Moore Bay Boulevard really isn't leaving many people out of the fold. We have to present a consistent brand. And I guess the only question she's looking for us on direction is what are the additional images on the right we want to present. Mr. Green presented an argument that this is about hoteliers. They're the ones paying into the bid. And whatever image we feel would generate the most walk-ins. I know it's going to vary on walk-ins depending on location, but Maggie, 10-15% of business can be walk-ins. So it can be pretty substantial.
Yeah, and I didn't have access to that information. So,
So with that in mind, as we kind of go through this here one at a time, we effectively have images of people paddleboarding, crabs, cute little sea otters, or then we have more consistent images on the right of people in bedrooms. Frankly, I think, because Jen, you said it's a 7-second exposure when driving past it. The collage images, I think, are going to be lost on a person that doesn't have any background scheme on what we're trying to present. It may look like a puppy dog. This crab is hard to tell what it is, and this is a woman shoveling something. So I think that it needs to be really easy to determine, because 7 seconds is the full time, so maybe it's 4 seconds, maybe it's five.
Because you also want them to read the exit and the website.
Right, there's a
so
lot of
we're
stuff there.
Yeah,
so
it's a
lot. I tend to feel, and board, come on, we engage me on this.
I have something to say, Aaron, on your
call. Say it.
Yes, sir.
Put it out there.
So one of the things that going back to what I said about the beacons of hospitality, I think that when people come to the coast...
That's not a bad slogan for our board, though, beacons of hospitality.
I love those words.
That's
you know, especially when it's hot in the valley and you're like, you feel that change when you hit the... Oh, my gosh, you can just feel it.
Make a bumper sticker. I'll put it on my car.
Anyways, So what I'm saying is that I think people realize when they come out here that the ocean's wet and that seafood lives in it, and that there's restaurants, you know, like all these common things, you know what I mean? And I think that you're nailing it with like one or the fewer images for a second, 7-second thing. But with the beacons of hospitality thing for me, I keep on having this feeling with our tourism that like Morro Bay is like, it's the best. You know what I mean? It's luxury out here. Like being out here, like you could go eat crab or you could stay in your hotel room, whatever. You're so lucky to be here. Like, it's just that feeling of being here. It's so hospitable. So for me, like, pictures of the hotel room, for me, is really selling what I want people to think about in Morro Bay. Like, it's everything else you're going to get on the coast, but, like, this is the spot you're going to be most relaxed at. This is the spot you're going to remember and want to come back to. And that's, like, that room, you know, with your kid on the internet. Like, what are we going to do today? This place is awesome.
And it plays into the headline, Put Life on Coast.
Yeah, looking at it's choice four that I think people are maybe talking about, the kid on the back of the mom. Mm-hmm. I think that has the best balance of color where it doesn't take away from the Morro Rock, which the other two do. The transactional one that's number five I think is maybe sending the wrong message. I think the couple, although they're in good spirits, it's a little bit bright and we don't see the rock. So I think number four would be where the direction I'd go. I also like that it's a little bit of a smaller picture to the right, but we still don't lose any attention on the people. If you change that to Put Life on Coast, the way the words fit on the page with Drop Anchor actually fits better than Put Life on Coast. So if you want to stick with Put Life on Coast, which I think makes sense, I would move Life to just lower below and left of the rock so that Put is smaller and above there, because Drop Anchor looks better visually on that ad than the Put Life on Coast, which trumps The Rock.
Well said. Yeah, well said. Charlie, Stephen, you have any further thoughts? Okay, so we're getting a
sounds
pace.
Good to me. I really like where we're going with it, and I like John's comments. I think it works.
Okay. We kind of have a pace for the board then. Want to get through some of the triage here. Mm-hmm. It feels like an appropriate time to open up to public comment. Is there any public comment on the signage thoughts? We welcome all.
So, hi, I'm Joan Solu. I own a hotel. Happy fall. Get ready for Halloween. So I totally agree with Sean's visual comments on the wording. You don't even, in my personal opinion, don't even consider drop anchor, because then you're wasting your money on the entire billboard because you've just chosen another slogan for Morro Bay. So if you want to throw money away, I have a big purse that I could carry it out in, or you could go with the other slogan. And then the other thing, the exit Morro Bay Boulevard, you can change at any time. Please, you're going to have to reach out to the 15% of your hotel stock that you have that is not on that, and that doesn't include Charlie's hotel because he's on the board. But you have 15% of your hotel stock at least that is north on other exits. You've got a Best Western and other hotels out there. Your second largest hotel sits out there. You need to definitely reach out to them because they're across the street from they're on Highway 41. So you need to, or Atascadero Road, and you have to address their concerns. What you need to know before you're making a decision about whether just a hotel appears on there or whether you have other entities on there, and I like the hotel shot, but I'm with Maggie. I don't think it should be alone. I think you should have two of them. Jennifer, is this paid for out of the general fund? Because the billboard was always paid for out of the general fund monies that came in before. It was previously part of the general fund monies that the city council allotted was set aside for the billboard because it benefited the entire community of Morro Bay. So the general fund monies were always used to pay for this billboard in the past, the $18,000 for the billboard plus the skin, everything was paid for out of the general fund monies. If that's what's currently happening, then I think you need to be cognizant of the fact that this needs to benefit. We need to be showing some activities and some other things on there. If this is paid for out of the T-bid money, put a giant bed and 50 slogans, put whatever you want on there that benefits the hoteliers. But be careful what you're doing, because what you do reflects on the entire community. And I do think that when we lift the entire community and not just the hotels, we're better off getting the fire truck down the road and paying for a Connie to sit here when he has a newborn baby and those kinds of things. So I think that a shared photographic experience is also better for the tourists, because they're not just coming here to sleep, although the highest walk-in period is in the winter, so you are coming into that season. I like to put Life on Coast. I like it lowered, as Sean suggested, but I do like photos that express what there is to do beyond resting in Morro Bay. Just a thought.
Thank you very much for your comment. Is there any further public comment? Seeing none. Ms. Little, is it? That is a good question. It's not general fund money. This is exclusively TBID dollars.
Correct. The only general funds are the grant and the emerging opportunities now.
Okay. Board, based on public comment.
Any opportunity for other images than just these images?
I mean,
these stock images are fine, but I'm just wondering if there's one with the family. I'm just, you know, if I like the lady with her son or child there, but I'm thinking one with a fam. I don't know. I'm just wondering if there's other options, and I'm sure there are. But
I can look at other images, no problem. You have to keep in mind that when you add more smaller images, so 8 heads or 4 heads in a photo, you're going to complicate it. It's more like putting two or three images on the board versus the one. I'm more than welcome to look at more images, though.
Board, do we feel that's necessary, or are we looking to make a recommendation to our director today?
I'm ready to move along and make a recommendation, but that's me.
Okay, as am I. No, you're not looking. This is not a formal motion, is it? Okay. Board review and select one billboard design for production and installation. So we are looking for a formal motion. Okay. Seeing that, it's motion time. Unless there's any further thought, we've exhausted public comment. Would anybody like to put forth a motion?
Charlie, do you feel strongly enough to wait another month to get some more images?
I don't want to hold the process up, but I want to make sure that we do what's right for not just the hotels, but for the entire community as well. So, again, I don't want to hold it up. You know, if we're, as a board, willing and ready to make a decision, then I can vote with that.
I think that, I mean, if the board, I mean, if the thing costs a certain amount of money, which is not cheap, and it's going to last for 2 years, I mean, waiting another month to have a little more comment or thought is not that big of a deal.
My only thought to that is I think we should refresh the image more frequently than every 2 years. It's already been dilapidated for a while, and it's, I think, a part of re-updating the brand.
My feeling from being on this board and my job is that, like, the current world of marketing is no longer a picture sitting in a magazine that you look at for 30 days. You know, it's movement. And so a billboard, I mean, as long as it costs, you know, I mean, not, inflation has happened, but I think that they should be changed once a year. My opinion.
At least, yes, because the guests are returning. We do have them coming back to the area or coming up and down Highway 1, so refreshing the image. So with that being said, my thoughts particularly is I do think we could visit photos. iStock Photo, as Jen said, has thousands of them. I don't know if we'd ever find 100% consensus. I'm comfortable with this image right here. I think Morro Bay offers a tremendous amount of assets, tremendous amount, really. That's why I love the town. But how do you convey any collage of those on a billboard for a 7-second presentation? I think KISS, keep it simple, as clean.
Can we ask the opinion of our marketing contractor?
Fantastic idea.
Sure.
Ms. Stansfield, since you're...
I think you've got two really great options here. I really do. As far as the...
And actually, to be clear, Marian, did you generate these? Did your company, or has this come from another source?
Yeah, we generated these.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think my personal feeling is that we need to show the customers what Morro Bay is about. I think showing a hotel room, I like the concept. I like what you're saying, and it's your guys' money, and you guys are looking for the walk-ins. And I get that. But I really think pulling people in is going to pull people in is what is Morro Bay about? When I take Morro Bay Boulevard, what am I going to find? I'm going to find this beautiful bay, that rock, some fresh seafood, someone paddleboarding or shoveling, you know, and an otter. I think we, you know, that one shot we have there of the woman paddleboarding, that is actually someone that is on the bay. That's just kind of the angle of the shot, you know, that we chose. I think we can, if we are going to wait a month, you know, maybe we can find a better shot that shows that. If you think that that's too, you know, too obsequious or people can't figure it out. But I think that, and I've been doing this for 10 years, I really think we need to sell what Morro Bay is about. And they're going to know. There's hotel rooms there. I mean, this is what we're trying to do, is we're bringing them in. We want them to know if they come off and they take that exit, what are they going to find? And that's what's going to make them stay over. I mean, you're going to get walk-ins because people are tired and they don't have a hotel room booked and they're going to come in. But we really want people to come because they see, wow, look at all there is to do there. Look what's happening. There's something really going on there. There's restaurants. There's activity. I mean, the hero shot is beautiful. You know, where we're showing the bay, we're showing the ocean. I mean, that right there is like, wow, I want to go check that out. But I think experience dictates
you know, if I'm pulling off the highway, it's because of what I'm going to do and what I'm going to eat. And so that's my opinion. However, I do like that shot with the little kid and the mom. So if that's the direction you're going to go, and it's obviously up to you, but those are my thoughts.
I like absolutely what you're saying, but how do we convey the assets in a much more comprehensible? So, Charlie, you're the most square to that right now. What is that red thing up there in the collage pictures?
The
red collage picture, bottom left. Can you tell what that is in a split second?
I can, but I know grab, so.
And again, you're going by so fast, you know, and you're ripping by there at, you know, 60 miles
that's
an hour.
That's my apprehension. So could we maybe have simpler images that are comprehensible?
Sure. We thought these were pretty simple, but we can, I think crab's pretty common, but we can definitely do another series of photos.
Charlie knows crab, so.
Charlie knows crab.
You know, and my thought is that personally I like the look of the collage of the three, and yes, it's true. Somebody probably driving by at 60 miles an hour isn't going to pick up on, oh, look, there's an otter, crab, and a sup person. Mm-hmm. But they might pick on one. Mm-hmm. Oh, crab. Oh, that'd be cool. Let's exit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. This is seafood. This is a harbor. Let's stop and have lunch. And then they get down on the Embarcadero, and they're cruising around. They're seeing nice hotels and all that. I personally just like the collage, and I don't know how, would you replace the stand-up paddleboarder with a kayak person, but then that's probably going to be, you know,
horizontal.
A landscape versus a portrait.
Yeah.
So I don't. I like it in the collage because it does kind of call out the three different things, and you can eat good food here, you can see wonderful sea life, and you can have great activities. And so that's basically my.
And it's all water related. It's all water. These are all water related images. That show.
And I do totally agree with you, Marianne, about the fact of yes, every place has hotel rooms, and that's a compelling image and inviting, but you got to draw them into, you know, to be here. And I think based on a lot of the things you pointed out in your study, Jennifer, we need to work diligently on getting more lodging signs set up at all the exits. And I don't know how we do that, but I think that's a real gap there. You know, you see in the wine country where they have all the cool posts that say this, that, and that, you know, restaurants. That should be another project we should definitely work on.
That'd be fun, like otters this way, whales this
way.
Yeah,
right.
You know, hotels this way. You know, I mean, there's a saying in sales and marketing is you want to sell the sizzle, not the steak. So this is the sizzle, and the hotels are the steak. So we're selling, you know, the smell, the ambiance of what's happening here, and then when they come in, they're going to buy the steak. So,
I like the three-image collage as well. We actually use design like that for some of our properties because it looks like photographs, and people associate photographs with being on vacation. So it works well.
That's a good point.
I was thinking the same thing he just said. I think they look like postcards. They remind me of, like, hey, I'm going to send postcards from this place or something.
That's a good point, yeah. Yeah, so... So we're happy to do another round of some imagery, so I'll just wait to get direction from Jen, whatever you guys want to do.
My opinion still is the same. I like the one with the lady and the kid and then the life on coast, like Sean said. That's my opinion. Sure, I'll make a motion. I'd like to see the billboard be concluded today as the life on coast in the way that Sean described the words being placed, with a single image of the woman and the child in the hotel room.
Do we have a second on his motion?
I'll second it, sure.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 So that was four ayes. Opposed?
Aye. Or opposed, I guess.
Opposed. And abstentions?
am not that passionate about either one, so I'll vote in favor.
So you're voting for a yes then? Okay. So motion passes. So to be clear on the voting then, we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 ayes, no abstentions, and one opposition. Correct? Is that for the record? Okay.
Jen, what do we do to work with city staff and Caltrans to get lodging, food and lodging signs? It shouldn't be that difficult if we – I know the cost is the main thing, but it's just the bureaucracy, and I see a big smile on Connie's face, trying to get signs on South Bay Boulevard and other exits that say – that direct our guests where to go.
So Scott Graham, Director of Community Development, is working on a complete revamp on our signage package, and so that'll be part of all that, yeah. So it is in the process.
Can we – I was just going to say one of the things I did glean from this conversation was that we should think about doing the sign once a year instead of 2 or 3 years.
And I will make sure that's in our budget, Taylor.
Since our marketing agency is present, what are the thoughts on how frequently the sign should be changed out? She's here.
I don't think you want to change it out too frequently, but I think once a year is good. I think, and based on the cost as well, I think once a year, you know, I think unless something radically changes, you know, that you would want to, if you're launching a new brand or something like that, I think, you know, consistency is good as far as your messaging, but then keeping it, you know. I mean, we'd have to think about a strategy. We can talk about a long-term strategy on what to do, and so we can know maybe in advance what we're going to, you know, how we're going to roll out each next concept. You know, maybe we do hotel this time, and then next time it's focusing more on something else, and the next time it's focusing more on something else. So we can, you know, keep the iconic picture or some kind of iconic picture, but then, you know, refreshing, you know, the addendum, you know.
And then, and maybe this is too advanced of a question, is there thoughts then, since this is such a seasonal business, on what point in the cyclical curve do we want to refresh the billboard? Would it be beginning of the height of the season, off season, shoulder season?
There's four seasons, but I think there's really two seasons, you know. There's the high season and then the off season. So I would say, we'll see, because going into summer, you're going to have something more playful and, you know, sunshine and that kind of thing to draw people in. But I would say probably now is a good time to do it when we're going into shoulder season. Refresh it because we want to have some, you know, whatever the most on trend when we're in the hardest time of the year.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Any further questions for her, board? All right. Thank you very much. All right. Next item on the agenda, B4, which is a SLOCAL Executive Committee update. So I'll just go over some brief talking points here. On September 21st, and we're all familiar with SLOCAL, correct? All hotels pay into a 1% assessment, which is promoting the county of San Luis Obispo. It's been recently, earlier this year, branded as SLOCAL. The domain name has been purchased, and that's how we're effectively reaching out into our broader markets. So on September 21st, SLOCAL held its annual Fall Industry Educational Symposium. There were 120 attendees at that. It was a relatively all-day event, very successful, lots of good education and networking opportunities. And the purpose of that was to really bring the entire hotel community, tourism community rather, together to stay up to date with trends and as things are happening. Then, last month as well, there was the Best Buddies Challenge. You may have heard about that. You were there, Taylor? Great. Okay. It is an altruistic nonprofit charity event, and the CEO of Visit SLOCAL, Chuck Davison, was there along with 1,500 bike enthusiasts, helping to spread the brand and the image for our region. And it was very exciting to have it up there, up on Highway 1, where we did get a lot of good media coverage. And as we know, Highway 1, our neighbors to the north, are stressed right now with the closure. They are definitely experiencing tremendous declines. So it was great to get that kind of exposure. Additionally, while he was there, Chuck Davison was able to get the ear of our Lieutenant Governor, Gavin Newsom, And the moment he saw Governor, Lieutenant Governor Newsom, he asked, let's talk about Highway 1. And Mr. Newsom was very responsive about that and said, how are the businesses doing? And then Chuck was able to deliver a strong message. This is not just a road closure. These are businesses going out of business. So my understanding as of last month is 8 shops have folded up in the Cambria Village, and hotels are on a tremendous decline. So he was aggressive getting Lieutenant Governor's ear to say, look, this is, we need to really push this forward at a much greater pace than Caltrans works at. Another item. Today, as a matter of fact, October 19th, is the SloCal Packaging Party. This will be out at Oyster Ridge. It's a winery out in Santa Margarita from 1 to 5, and the purpose of a packaging party, it's kind of a fun concept, it's speed dating within the hotel and tourism industry. I've never been to it. I'm actually going to go this afternoon. It sounds like fun, but it's a chance for all different facets and dynamics of the tourism industry to come together in a speed dating fashion, introduce themselves to one another, and say, how can we create packages? How can we create experiences? Let's get them all in the room and start chatting. So we have a whole stack of information, and I'm very curious what will come from that. If people are interested in attending, they can reach out to Pam Roberts at SloCal. Her email address is pam@slocal.com. Of course, there's a whole litany of items on the list, but we'll keep it relatively brief. Of course, we know next week, October 24th, is the RV and VR discussion here. But an example on a county level, for 9 days earlier this month, October 6th to the 15th, so just a week and a half ago, SloCal was down at the Recreational Vehicle Industry Association down in Pomona. They had a booth set up, and they were representing SloCal as the destination for RVers. So Michael Wombolt was down there, and that's pretty extensive exposure. And he was just saying, come, bring your RVs, come to SloCal. Additionally, right now, actually they just got back from a Vacation Rental Management Association National Conference in Orlando. That was a 4-day conference, having a discussion about how SloCal plugs into vacation rentals. And I'm sure at our next month's public board meeting, there will be some good thoughts brought to the table. Last thing I'll mention, these are the fun things that I absolutely love about DMOs, destination marketing organizations, is when people in an industry gather together, they can promote and take a message by creating synergy within their funds that any one hotel or even any one little town would not be able to do. So, for example, on November 6th, SloCal will be at the World Travel Market in London, representing San Luis Obispo County, our destinations, and our assets. And we know our beautiful rock here is an amazing image that we brag about quite consistently at those events. So you will see San Luis Obispo County in London. That's pretty much the highlights. Any questions or thoughts, board? Seeing none, we can open up to public comment.
Hi, I'm Joan Solu. I was listening to your meeting earlier, and I was listening to some of the marketing information and some of the TOT information. Now I'm listening to this report, and I just want to remind the board that we are putting more money into marketing this community than ever before. More money, because now we're part of the TMD, which Chair Graves is just pointing out to us. And we, as a community, need to we just spent a lot of time, probably 30 or 40 minutes, making a decision on an $18,000 billboard. And we have to generate about $3 million plus in TOT here in order to just sustain with no growth, right? So when it comes to TOT and the marketing report and where we're going in the future, when we miss our numbers like we have the last 2 months in terms of occupancy, and now we're not hitting our rate numbers, we're not having stable rate numbers year over year, when we're missing those, I would love to see this board spend as much time on $3 million in revenue and why we're not hitting those numbers as we did on an $18,000 billboard, and give that kind a really, really strong direction to the staff. And I'm not trying to chastise you, because that's not what I'm doing. What I'm trying to do, what I would love to see, is that kind of really conscientious, because I believe in the volunteer work you're doing. And I think that you're all strong volunteers, and that your voices and your opinions are really, really important. So I just want to spur you to give that kind of depth and thought that we gave on an $18,000 piece of the budget to generating what we need to get done on the decisions for marketing, because we're spending more money, more than $1 million on marketing this little town. So let's make sure that all the decisions that we're making are driving that, to drive revenue. And I think the packaging parties and that stuff coming forward out in advance so that everyone can take advantage of it, those things are really, really important. But your decisions that you make here and the direction you give here are key to our success in the future, to catching the revenue that we've already lost. Thank you.
Can you, Joan, would you mind? I agree with your statement. I mean, I think that does need to be our focus. And maybe you don't need to stay at the mic, but my comment on that is it's how I feel in a lot of ways in general about where marketing is gone. And I want to be able to say this and not have mental marketing be offended, but you know, we see these statistics every month about this many, you know, this gets pushed out and this gets pushed out. What I'm very impressed with when I see all the package, you know, all the advertising, you know, we live locally, so we don't see it, because you're pushing, you know, you're not advertising to us, you're trying to advertise to the people in Southern California and in the Valley and around the world. But I have a very difficult time connecting all those statistics to value. I've said this before. I don't care if we get 1 million Facebook likes. You know, what does that translate to in terms of room bookings? And it's just a. I guess I'm just making a point and kind of agreeing with Joan on this. Is that in this social media world, we've gotten farther and farther away from being able to, you know, to track all those expenditures and all that money we're spending to actual results. And it's kind of frustrating to me. And same for my personal business. You know, how much value we can do all these things, and how much value does it really bring us? So that to me is the challenge. I'd like to do a better job as a TBID member. In driving the right direction, but that, I have to admit, for me is so over my head as far as how, you know, social media translates into bookings and how Jackrabbit referrals and searches translate into bookings. You know, you pointed out, Marianne, earlier that, you know, unfortunately, given our website, we've lost the ability. We don't currently have the ability to track some of that. So I just wanted to kind of agree with Joan, and I want to do a better job. I'm just not sure how we get involved at a more detailed level to drive that. So if anybody has any ways of doing that, I'm open to it.
I had comment really quick on that, because Joan's words always ring really true to me. But I did have comment on this that, you know, I feel like the TOT report and all that is incredibly valuable, because that's our metric numbers. Those are essentially the results of a number of experiments, right? And what we spend our time on mostly, I feel like, is discussing the experiments that, like the billboard and all these, the concerts on the bay, these are the experiments that come together to accumulate the data that we hopefully see in the TOT. Now, I don't feel that there's a certain amount of time I need to spend on anything. I feel like I need to spend the efficient amount of time on everything, or I can't be here. So for me, I understand metrics. I'm a scientist. I get it. There it is. There's the results. I could spend all day breaking down numbers because numbers are numbers. Now, I would rather spend my time discussing the individual portions because that's what I'm here for. But if I'm missing something specific on the TOT, an educated person in the industry of hospitality and hoteliers or travel trailer parks, whatever, should tell me what I'm missing out on. And that's why this is, hey, it's us and you guys out there. You know what I mean? So if I'm missing something, let me know. But coming up and tell me I need to spend more time, prove it.
Joan, thank you for your comments. You obviously, you know, have your finger on the pulse of the hoteliers here in Morro Bay. Can I just candidly ask, do you feel personally that the TBIT is wasting money on marketing? Well, just clarifying your question, you said, you know, for us to be very, you know, prudent with our diligence and our research, do you think that the money spent on marketing is of value? Or are we seeing a return on that investment? Okay.
It does. Yeah, Stephen, very good question, but yeah, it's kind of digressing way off the agenda here. Go have coffee, tea. Like it. Good thoughts, though.
So, Marianne, do you want to come up and have any quick rebuttal on it, or do you have any thoughts since you are here?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of points were really great points were made. I mean, you know, we do a marketing plan, we have tactics, and we have strategies, and you guys just spent a half hour on, you know, one of the talking about the strategy of the tactic of the billboard. I think that's great. We need your feedback. We're working on, you know, we're putting together marketing ideas and strategies based on, you know, growing awareness of the area, growing, you know, TOT, ADR, all of that. When it comes down to metrics, though, to Taylor's point is the hardest part about doing marketing in this industry is directly connecting the return on investment to the bookings. And there's just, so we have other benchmarks that we use and key performance indicators, and that was something we talked about early on. I think whenever we do a marketing plan, we say, okay, these are the numbers we're going to report to you. This is how we're seeing performance. These are the key performance indicators that are showing that our marketing is working and that the marketing dollars being spent are, you know, driving business, driving people to the website to get to find out and learn about you guys and your properties and Morro Bay as a whole. So if there are any other performance indicators that you guys want us to report out on, and Joan to you too, if there's something that we're not reporting out on or something's missing, please let us know. We're happy to pull in, add in more.
Which is, I think, a great metrics. Opportunity for declaration of future items. If there's something we want to see, board, it's a great question. Let's declare it on a future item and get it on next month's agenda and discuss it.
But right.
With Marianne here, it is a bit of the $64,000 question. You know, immediate correlations between advertisements and cash flow is hard. Billion-dollar companies struggle with that as well.
All the time. So thank you.
Let's move on to the next item on the agenda. Yes? B5, which is an update regarding upcoming TBID special meeting on vacation rentals and RV park assessments, which is scheduled for next week, October 24th. Oral presentation by our Deputy City Manager.
Thank you, Aaron. Hello, Board. Just a quick update about our special meeting October 24th, this Tuesday. So the agenda, how it lies right now, is there's three presentations. One will be by me in the beginning, brief introduction about why everybody's here, kind of the basic history of the TBIT, how it was formed in 2009. We're getting a lot of questions from the emails you probably received. People are just don't understand, hey, we pay TOT, we pay 1% to the county, doesn't that promote? So trying to answer those questions as well, you know, what the 3% is and not going into the benefit side, because that's what mental marketing is going to do. So really a brief presentation from my part is really just history and kind of why we're here today, and talk about the process of, and part of the process will be, it's very helpful for the board to know as well. Definitely don't want the board to be surprised. So this will be helpful timeline. Where are we at right now? October, town hall, receive public input. November, December. So what's going to happen at the meeting is three presentations by me. Scott will give an update on the moratorium and the vacation rental ordinance. And then there will be the last presentation by Mental Marketing and the benefits of tourism, the TBID. And then we will go into public comment. And anybody who has questions, comments will be made publicly. And then the board, you'll have the opportunity to discuss whatever you'd like. No decisions will be made. But if you want to answer any questions, you know, there will be some emotions being shared. And so if you just kind of want to share some insights that you might have that day that come up, that would be the time. So so that's really kind of the flow of things. So where we are right now is October, obviously, town hall next week, November, December. So after the meeting on Tuesday, you'll have some discussion. In November, we'll have another TBID meeting. The idea is to from that discussion after Tuesday is what's the direction. So we're hoping maybe in November, if you think you're ready to make a decision, what information do you need from staff to come in November prepared so that you could make a decision? If at that meeting in November we need to go to one more meeting in December, you know, that's what we're seeing. So that's why we have a November. We could, you the board could make a recommendation and finalize a decision by November, but if you need another month, December, we don't want to push it too long because the reason why we need a recommendation is the annual report gets produced, and this is part of the annual report is the recommendation in the annual report to present to City Council is this is the boundaries and in our report we would like to promote, you know, RVs and vacation rentals, so we need to know what that budget looks like as well. So December to February is when that annual report will be produced with recommendation, and so that's the TBID side. Then after that it goes into about two City Council meetings. March, April is when it's initiated by annual report and recommendation from the TBID is presented to City Council, and then a public hearing in City Council. The second City Council meeting is then the following month after that. So May or June is typically when that has happened historically. And that's when City Council may approve that as well. So there's a recommendation from TBID, and then City Council may approve. So that's kind of the timeline. We've been getting some questions about that, how that looks. In the public hearing, that's when the negative protest procedure can happen. So it's the 50% plus one of those paying into the assessment are able to protest against that.
Hey, Connie, what time is it next week on the 24th?
1 to 2:30.
1 to 2:30.
Yes. And there's some flyers in the back too, Taylor.
Yeah, I just want every chance that we can of the public to hear those times. And I mean, the whole reason we're doing this is for them to come out and give comments.
Yes.
So we should just smother them with time, location,
thank you.
Date.
That's a great idea. Yes. Yeah, so that's basically it. Did some research. We met with Maggie and Charlie, who are TBID subcommittee. We met with them last week, and so one of the ideas they had was made this slide really explaining the 10 to 1 to 3%. And then Megan and Charlie mentioned, well, what are the other cities doing? So look at the other rates. So this is good for you to see before the presentation. This is locally, countywide. This is what the assessment rate is. As you can see, Morro Bay is at 3%. Other levies are about that. And this was taken off the Civitas website. So it's as accurate as possible. So
Ikalani, to be clear on that chart, you add, in this case Morro Bay, you add the 3 and the 11.
Yes.
Correct, so that
yes,
everybody understands
exactly.
That. Okay.
Thanks for that clarification. So you add that together, and that creates the 14%.
And then they can see that Santa Maria is at 14%, and San Luis Obispo is at 13%, or whatever the case
yeah.
is.
Okay. And it's good to see that, because as you know, it's not just the 3%, as we know. There's TOT rates, there's other levies there. So
yeah.
When we're talking about what this rate should be, you know, should we keep it at 3 if there is an inclusion of the VRs and the RVs into the bid, understanding what, you know, you have to look at the whole picture. So thanks for that clarification.
There. But
there's also Visit California on top of that too, so it brings it to about 14.2 for Morro Bay. Right.
No. 14 for Visit California. SoCal.
14.
Steve's right.
So Morro Bay, to put this in perspective, my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, is as high or near Anaheim or Los Angeles. It's one of the highest collective rates in the state of California.
So we'll look outside here, other TBID levies. This is some, again, taken from the Civitas website. So this is what I've seen out there. I'm not sure what other cities outside of this are doing.
Econi? Is there a way in these charts to add up all the assessments so they see kind of the grand total? You know what I mean? Because right now, if I look at Temecula, I'm thinking, okay, it's 8 and 4.
Yeah.
So it's 12. Is it, you know what I'm saying, give a grand
total
levy?
Yeah, so just give the total levies.
Yeah, so you can okay. Well, you know what I'm saying. When you can scan down the chart and you see where would Morro Bay sit in comparison.
See, if you want to add an additional column.
But what do you want? Yeah. Do you want to see total levies or do you, you know?
The grand total is nice because effectively that's what the constituents are doing. They're saying, okay, my levy is going to be higher in the end or lower.
Do you want to keep other levies as well? So just create another column.
Yeah, exactly.
So
just add a third column.
Exactly. Okay. That would be fine. But you need to show the breakdown about what the assessment rate is versus what, you know, DOT, I believe.
Yeah, just remove the confusion of having to do math.
Okay.
Yeah, math is an ugly thing. So in that case, Carmel, 1 plus 10 equals 11% grand total levy.
You got it. You probably want to break it up, right?
Yeah. Break it down.
Okay.
Break it
perfect.
Down.
Perfect. Yeah, that's easy to do.
Cover your audience who wants to figure it out and cover the audience that doesn't want to figure it out. That way everyone's covered.
You know, sometimes people like to do math problems, so, you know, we'll make it easy then. Okay.
No, but I think it's important to keep them split out because need to see what we're talking about here is that additional 3%, and you want to look at what other communities are doing there.
Yeah.
So... That was the purpose, just to give you an update. There's other slides. Don't want to worry with that. Really, my purpose in the introduction is to answer these questions that we've been receiving emails on as much as possible, but stay away from the benefits. Marianne will hit on the benefits, and then Vacation Rentals will be very interested on what Scott has to say on the moratorium. That's going to be a very short presentation because, I'll let him speak to that, but we're waiting for the county to work on their ordinance, and so Scott's going to follow that with our general plan update as well. So he's going to give us a good update on vacation rentals. But besides that, that's all I have. Oh, is that under mental marketing too? Oh, perfect.
I was just mentioning that also Mark is going to be presenting from the unincorporated bid. He's part of Mental Marketing, but he's their representative for Highway 1 Discovery Route.
CBID.
Which is mainly vacation rentals.
Okay.
I just had a quick question about the arrangement of the meeting. I know when we had GPAC and some other useful town hall meetings, it wasn't in this direct board sitting up here type of environment. Is there value in having it not be an us against them, but more of a fact-finding, which I thought was the intention of the town hall, to hear people's concerns, answer questions in more of a maybe a less aggressive arrangement?
Yeah, Sean, we went through a few different ideas on how to go about that. I think the biggest thing is that there has to be public comment here. And so, you know, we went through an idea of let's do comment cards and let's have a panel. And as opposed to people sitting on a dais, there's people in chairs and it's just any questions and you kind of have an expert talk and answer the question there. So just sharing that because we went through a few iterations, then we realized that, you know, not everybody wants to speak on a comment card. If it's emotional, they want to share on a microphone and you can't stop them. So there has to be public comment, and even more so because of the Brown Act, and this is a formal board meeting, so we have to follow those rules. But if it's public comment, who are they speaking to? So they have to speak, you know, towards the advisory board because they want to share share their things, so then share their thoughts and their emotions. So that's why the dais came back, and there is going to be some discussion. There is going to be some dialogue that they may want to hear from. No decision, but after they have public comment, they want to see how the board responds, because you're making the recommendation. I just wanted to share that, unless you had another idea, but there's certain things that we just can't veer away from just because we're following procedures.
Yeah, so I understand the logic. It's just a point of clarification is that we, as a board, have somehow decided that it feels like we're imposing this thing, that we're trying to convince them is the right thing, and most, if not all, the comments that are going to be coming back are going to be a mix of questions and mostly anti-positions. And so I guess we'll just be prepared to be bombarded by reasonable comments on the negative side, and I don't know necessarily what our position is to respond to that. Just nod and say okay.
Yeah. Sorry, Taylor.
I just wanted to comment real quick on that. I feel like one of the benefits of having it set up like this is that the audience, it's oftentimes more difficult for them to speak because we're up here all the time. We expect to speak. I like that they have the opportunity to look directly at us and attack us if they want. Maybe I'm unusual, but I like people attacking me. Like, I want to be challenged. I want to discuss it. I want to be passionate, or otherwise I'm wasting my time. And I like that. Like, there was a couple weeks ago, a guy came up and he really spoke about what he felt like, and he was passionate, and I felt like he was directing it at me, and I was like, yes, thank you, because if I say something wrong, get me. You know what I mean? And I like that. And I think it plays out really well on the TV. I think it's part of our system. So I think that's part of our job, is to be attacked. I mean, that's politics.
But I kind of go back to what Sean said. I mean, yeah, I would prefer not to have this format. I'd prefer that maybe in the beginning of the meeting you introduce the TBID members that are out there among the group, but that people aren't presenting to us, because I feel like that does
I was just going to share just that. We were thinking exactly that. So the presentations, the three presentations at the beginning, they're going to be speaking to everybody in the audience, and so board members would be there. And Lori, just make sure we're okay doing this. And then when public comment happens, then the board members would come up and then they would share, because you know, most of the presentations is everyone speaking towards the audience. We don't want presentations speaking to you when most of the people in the audience want the presentation. So that's kind of it. So only during public comments is our thoughts.
So, Connie, please walk us through exactly where everybody's physically sitting and how they're rotating.
So it's going to be set up just like city council meetings. So audience here, board members would be there, and presentation would be happening right here towards the back.
Board members out there?
Board members with the audience.
And is it you and Scott and so forth presenting from this stage?
No, we'll present from here.
You want to just present from
there? Yeah, we're going to present from the floor facing the audience, and then when it's public comment, it'll be at the pulpit here, and board members will then come up at the time.
So then we come up and sit here.
Yeah, because it'd be good, because a lot of the property owners don't know who the board members are, so they wouldn't know who to talk to. I mean, we could have everybody rise in the beginning, which we may do an introduction, but let them. You'll be sitting next to everyone else.
So then we'll leave the seats there. We'll come up and take our seat here, and then public comment. As Taylor said, they can start throwing things at us.
Yeah.
Okay.
One other logistical question, because all but one of us are stakeholders in this discussion, and therefore none of us would ever have to abstain from a vote because we're all on the board, would be my idea. So anyone could speak as part of public comment as a hotelier individual or as a vacation runner owner individual and still not have to abstain from the vote like a normal.
As long as when you step down to speak as a member of the public, we still have a quorum.
So I can then still return to the board and be part of that quorum.
Right. They're not taking a vote on the 24th.
True. I'm just saying I don't want to preclude myself from a future vote by speaking as an individual during that meeting or any meeting.
Yeah.
as long as I step down and there's still a quorum and then I return.
I see what you're saying.
Because so everyone's a stakeholder. It's not just me.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So,
so effectively, we'll if everybody speaks, we would not have a quorum of non-speaking members, and this whole thing is for nothing. Okay.
Yeah. I can tell you, unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to make it next week. You should still have a quorum.
Well, let's talk to the rest of us.
I'll be here next week. But
October 24th, 1 to 2:30 p.m., 90-minute window, middle of the day. Charlie, yes? Sean? I will be here.
Crap.
Maggie?
Taylor, oh, yeah, I'm not going to be here. Sorry. I didn't realize it was in the middle of the day. Like, yeah. I can't miss work. I got to make money, you guys.
So you're not going to be here?
If you could schedule it for the time that I've allotted for this in the morning time, yes. But in the afternoon, no way. I'm not skipping out on my job.
I get that. All right. So we have Maggie, myself, Sean, Charlie confirmed 4 out of 6. That is a narrow quorum.
One step down.
And I plan to speak.
Well, but they're not taking a vote.
But we're not voting.
Yeah, but it's still your quorum to have a meeting.
But I don't feel it's fair to penalize Sean to not speak. He should really be allowed to.
I'll verify when you get
ready. Okay. I feel like we could work through that. That'd be just silly.
Yeah, we'll get more info and get back to you. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay.
So we're only going
to
have four.
Connie, is that... Sorry,
that's, we digress. That's the gist of...
that's the gist of it?
Yeah, of the agenda. So just want to make sure you're good unless you have any questions. We'll definitely add another column in the Excel spreadsheet. Keep math easy. So
all right.
If there's anything else, let me know. Feel free to reach out to me.
All right, board. Are we through with that? Mr.
Connie, one question. And I know I saw an email. Just to clarify, last April when we made a motion, that was just a recommendation?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. How the approval process work is TBIB makes recommendations to council, and the council has to approve or modify or deny. So council has final approval.
But we were simultaneously as a board approving the TBIB for another year, correct?
Yes. Yes.
Right. So I think there was some confusion there. And, you know, personally, my vote was approving it conditioned upon, and I didn't necessarily know it was just a recommendation. So I guess we'll know for next year.
Before we close out this item, we always want to open everyone up to public comment. Is there any public comment on item B5?
Yes, yeah, so hi, Joan Solu. Steve, you were totally right. So hotels above a certain percent of revenue, when their revenue hits a marker, hotels and motels, then they have to pay into a California state bid. It's a California assessment bid. So your hotels fall in that marker, obviously, because you're highly in tuned to the fact that you're paying an extra percentage. It wouldn't show on there because Maggie is unlikely to have it happen to her because she's only got 2 rooms. So, you know, it's revenue. It's not based on room number. It's based on overall revenue number, unless Maggie's got some, like, $900 a night rate down there or something like that. So it could be. I don't know. I don't, you know.
Correct, I have 6 rooms.
So I'm really happy to see this come back. Super excited. I would just say to you, remember a couple slides back when it said TBID report and recommendation? So the TBID report and the recommendation are two things that are totally separate and unrelated. It's like, you know, 2 different families, and then they are getting married on this slide. So the annual report is a legal report that has to happen that shows what happened last year and where you spent the money. It's kind of like a little audit, right? Legally, that has to happen within 90 days or so. The recommendation presented to council is going to be, to Steve's point, it's going to be the recommendation, it's separate, unrelated, a different family, it's the Hatfields. That recommendation is to recommend to council whether this board thinks that the TBID should occur in a future year, and how many numbers of years and what that should look like. Totally separate and unrelated. I mean, they're completely not related, but they are married on this slide. And in terms of how you could lay this out, there were a couple times when we did the TBID meetings as a community meeting, and we laid it out in kind of a square down here on the floor with a huge table that went all the way around, and then in the back and to the side, there were a lot of extra chairs for extra people, for extra folks who came in. But it was kind of like a King Henry VIII in the round table. We were all stationed at different points as TBID members so we could sit amongst the people and really get to know, be more at a level playing field with them instead of juxtaposed like this. And then when it went around to our comment and the formalities, the chair and the vice chair sat actually up to the front here. And then it kind of addressed, and there was a dais for public comment and all of that there. So it was just a different way of laying out what I think Connie is trying to get to, but it's just a thought for you. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any further public comment? All right. Any other questions or thoughts, Board? All right. I guess the last question for you then. At the end of this, are we looking at that point to make any kind of recommendation, or are we just receiving, filing, and absorbing Econi? That's my understanding, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you. All right, Board, we'll close that session. And last one here, declaration of future items. I know I have a couple. Anybody else?
I had a comment because our next meeting will be the 16th of November. I'm going to be in Bologna and Rome speaking at some schools during that time, so I won't be here.
Okay. Thank you. Any other?
A small metric that might be nice to see as part of maybe a TOT report would be any kind of hotel improvements that have been documented, just to see other factors that could be playing into increases or decreases. What I mean is if a hotel has put in a breakfast room or done some kind of major renovation, whether it's numbers-wise, square footage-wise, rooms-wise, or even just qualitative, maybe a self-reporting, what have you done? Have you done anything this month that is worth mentioning? And just in terms of improvements, we ask a lot of marketing, what have you done better in marketing? I feel like what hotels, hotel-wise, maybe there's some sort of improvement record that we could track. Is that way off the wall?
You're treading into some.
All right.
If hotels are willing to give that, that's proprietary.
What'd you say?
Hotels might not want to share that with their neighbor.
All right.
Hotel.
I guess I'm thinking more the. I'm guessing more the public notice. The public notice. All right, we've added 500 square feet of a new breakfast lounge. I don't know. Is that maybe it's just.
Maybe if Jen picks up something on the street as an asterisk, but I would say as a property owner myself, I think that all get a little nervous when they change anything in their properties and are usually not going to brag about it to the government.
All right.
Just to be honest here. It's not going to happen.
Scratch that. I was just looking for other factors that could possibly be determining revenue decreases, and I thought, you know, just throw that in there, but I'll definitely scratch that.
I like what you're saying.
I do like the idea of getting more information on the revenue decreases. I mean, it's a quandary to me. I mean, the economy seems good. Employment, you know, is good. You know, are people not traveling? I think they are.
Well, here's what's interesting. So I think I mentioned this at our last month's meeting, is National Hotel Outlook and a number of these metrics right now. It's always been on the upward trending, greater than 50%, 51, 50.5, things like that. And now all of a sudden we're starting to see a few of those metrics below 50%, which shows a decline. And this is their 3- and 6-month forecast. So the first time we're seeing that in years. So it's a national trend. We want to fight against that as hard as we can. We are in a relatively insulated market because of our tremendous assets, but still, this is a national conversation that's sparking up quickly. Board, do we have any items to declare?
I would just like to invite everyone to the San Diego Food and Wine Festival, November 18th, where we will be representing Morro Bay at the Savor the Central Coast booth. The Inn at Morro Bay will be serving halibut ceviche paired with a Bristol cider from Atascadero. So exciting times.
Fancy. Very fun. A couple items I would just like to mention here. I would like to declare to drill down into, and Jen, I think you already said you would do it, but let's get it on the record here, to change the format of our website from Mobi Managed to a more universal and accessible platform. You said you've already addressed that and you'll bring that back to us. but let's make that a formal talking point, because what Marianne's making us aware of here, frankly, sounds inexcusable to work on a platform like that. That's ridiculous. And then the other one would also be to discuss better signage of the exits. Your presentation, Jen, really helped illustrate that some of the streets aren't even marked. There's no clarity on where hotels are or other amenities. So I know that's a big picture city conversation, but I think we need to have it. Board, anything you'd like to declare? Seeing none, we will call this meeting then adjourned. It is 10:55 a.m., and Charlie forgot my gavel, but this will still work. Meeting's adjourned.